Roosevelt said that in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. There is an open declaration of war upon your family. We now have, 56 years later, a second Pearl Harbor. In Long Beach, they have opened up the facility there, or they intend to open up the facility there, to the communist Chinese, who have mass murdered more people than any other nation on the face of the earth. Between 1949 and 1975, they murdered 66,400,000 people. Take them at an average height of about 5 feet 6 1/4, and you can take them from here, you can string them up about 2/3 of the way to the surface of the moon. They intend to kill you. And you had better to learn, you had better learn to accept the unacceptable and to tolerate the intolerable if you do not plan on engaging them in some sort of political activity. Costco is the communist overseas slave camp operations. They're bringing in these containers. One was discovered, I think, with 1,500 AK-47s. Others, there's been other containers that have had all sorts of equipment found on the Mexican border. This is to go to the street revolutionaries. The street revolutionaries in Oakland. So that they can wage war against you. They want a black-white racial confrontation situation to occur. And it will occur. Because it has been planned that way. Blacks do not have any some sort of natural hatred for whites, or whites' natural hatred for blacks. Hatred has to be developed over a period of time. You see films like Burn, like Mandingo. And in these films, you walk out of there, you hate whitey. In one particular piece, Roots, every white person was bad news. A hooker, a tramp, a cheat, a liar, a pervert, you name it, and they had it in each and every case. In this war that has been engineered, they've had to program people, and they've programmed each and every one of you. They have programmed this racial confrontation situation. I was last week in Atlanta debating America's Black Hitler, a fellow named Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And he talks about killing the whites. He wants to kill the white woman, he wants to kill the white man, he wants to kill the brothers, the sisters, the mothers, the cripples, the faggots, the lesbians. Kill them all! And then dig them up and kill them again. He says, why kill the blue-eyed babies? Because they're going to grow up to be your enemy. Why kill the women? Because he says every 9 months more ammunition rolls out between their legs. You've got to kill them all. And I think this issue has to be addressed. So I challenged the man. And I'm going to challenge him again. We have to have a coalition between black and white. We have a mutual enemy. Some people in the hip-hop field are beginning to understand this. Africa Islam, who works with Ice-T. In fact, Jordan Maxwell and I are on a rap video, which is released out in Europe. Smash it. Talking about this subject. You've got to understand what's happening, where, and why this is bringing you in. You can't not be involved. You are involved. Each and every one of you is at risk. There's less than 30 days between now and the end of the year. And if you add up the 2 years that are coming, it's not much over 700 days till the millennium. And the people from this evilarchy, from the Cassius cartel, they made plans to be at the base of the pyramids in Egypt, and they're all going to be sitting down. They're going to be sitting down, they're going to be looking up at the sky, waiting for something wonderful to happen. In the book 2010, Arthur C. Clarke, in his last chapter, and it's called Lucifer Rising, says that there's going to be some sort of binary star system. Now, what does that mean? You can't have a binary star system unless you have two suns. Now, the Galileo project, and I'm sure you all know of that, left with, 49 and a quarter pounds of plutonium. Or something like that. To go to Jupiter. And in the videotape, which you can rent, of 2010, they talk about this thing igniting. And then suddenly there would be no more darkness. We would all be facing the light. Oh, the light of Lucifer. Jupiter is to be renamed Lucifer. You say, well, that's wild, Anthony. I mean, where have you been? Out of contact? Well, the Galileo mission left, didn't it? I mean, it's up there now. It's in orbit around Jupiter. It's got the 49 and a quarter pounds of plutonium. The last chapter of 2010 still says it's Lucifer rising. The guys are going to be out there at the base of the pyramid. And they're planning on something wonderful to happen. I mean, Hal talks about that. The computer. And in the film, you see the ship coming back and just getting out of the explosive zone. Everybody breathes happily, and then at the end of the picture, you see the monolith. You see the United Nations building. You see a global government. Now, they're going to bring that to pass by one of many methods. I take a look at the tape that Norio and I did. It's called The Panic Project. And Herr Henry Kissinger, you know who he is. He is like, he was to Nixon like Colonel Edward Mandel House, who wrote Philip Drew Administrator, was to Woodrow Wilson. He said, today America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Surely that would be the case. He says, but tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond. That means some sort of invasion from space. Whether real or promulgated. I mean, he's telling it to us, right? That threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. In other words, we're supposed to get down on our knees and say, oh my God, the space aliens are coming! Right? And we're frightened to death. Yeah. Independence Day. They proceeded with the picture. Because they manipulate the minds of the masses by owning the motion picture business. They make propaganda pictures. 1980, I was in charge of production at the old David Selznick studio. I know what they do. This isn't a question mark in my mind. I know what they're planning. And Kissinger goes on to say, the one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, whether real or promulgated, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the, what? World government. On that tape, we've got Professor Lynn Seymour. And Lynn was telling Norio, and Norio told me, and I got a tape from Dr. Seymour, saying that he had run into some people. Well, let me retract that. Some entities. Some people who, well, entities that appeared to be human, or humanoid, or clones. I said, Anthony Hilder, you've got to be nuts talking about clones? Give me a break. I mean, real people. I mean, the clones, and I mean, you know, what, you know, this is a, what are you talking about, some Dr. Frankenstein factory? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Well, he ran into a couple of the guys and one of those, you know, the camel dudes out there, driving off the road and on the road and up and down, and they went over and they stopped, and he says, and they parked. He said, well, I'm just going to go over and see him. And they're over there. Guy picks up, he talks to him, and they're talking about like this. So would you care for a cup of coffee? He said, well, yes, I would. He said, the fella takes up the coffee, and he brings it over, and he starts to pour. He could have poured it all over his lap, and had he not put a cup underneath. These fellas, 50, 55, sort of gray hair, looks similar, but not the same. He said, what the hell are we doing here? We're putting all this stuff about this imaginary invasion. But a couple of my listeners, a fellow named Mafia Mike, went over to, and this girl came down from Anchorage. They heard me talking in the air. Said, you know, he's either got to be crazy or there's something going on out there. So they go up over the Hancock Pass and down to the Tickaboo Valley on a Wednesday night. They come over. They sit down. They bring out these lawn chairs, right? One of these things. Something like this. And they sit down, and they're getting ready, and along comes the camel dudes. And they ask for their ID. They want to see their driver's license. How about your social security card? Can we check the car for cameras? He says, come on, give me a break. We're just out here to see the stars. He says, yeah, that's right. But, you know, this is dangerous out here. You could step on an unexploded mine. It's dangerous. You got to get out. You should be out of here. And old Mafia Mike, a little guy, ran for mayor in Anchorage. Oh, they called him Mafia Mike because he had these 13 pizza parlors. You can't just name them Mikes. You got Mafia Mike. So all the guys came out like mafiosa. He said, well, isn't this BLM land? Well, yeah, it's a BLM land, but we've given you fair warning. The girls are shaking. I'm really shaking. You can hear a pin drop in the Tickaboo Valley. Nobody coming up and down Highway 375. They're monitoring it. Well, they decided that particular night to have a demonstration. Not for Mike and the two girls. But this is sort of a rehearsal for an event that was about to come. Now, the event that was about to come was a mock invasion from space. They stood their ground. They said, what are they going to do? Kill us? Maybe so. But they put up the chairs, and they were looking up at the sky. This is about 20 minutes after they left, and they hear this roar. Not like the aurora coming up over them, you know, out towards the facility. But it was a noise coming out to the facility, but it was coming underneath the ground, and the ground shook. They said it was like a huge, giant freight train or something like that. And they heard it coming across the valley, and Norio and I were over there at the southeast end of the valley towards the Tickaboo Peak. And it was coming from that direction. They felt it. Battery's gone. Okay, well, I can do it without the battery. Oh, you're going to give me another battery? Well, that's fine.
You want to just let him use this? Did I or did I not tell you to be like this? While we're waiting, I'd like to share something with Norio and Anthony. Number one, I mispronounce his name because it starts with an H, and my name starts with an H, and it's a silent H. So please forgive me. That's number one. Number two, all of this is for absolute and total mind control. Now, all of us know that. How can you test it? Well, because of the games they play. And any of you who would wish to do just very insignificant research by fixing, for instance, a compass that would point to your magnetic due north, and then watch it. Now, Mr. Trelli, most of you know him, has done one of these studies. And when they turn on the HARP system, and especially when they turn the Gwen system on with the HARP system, it activates the grid. And you will come off of magnetic center by some, up to 15 degrees. And it's happening almost every day at some period of your day. But nobody's paying attention, you see, except the research crews. This is extremely disorienting because this is the way birds migrate. This is the way whales react through these magnetic, sonic frequencies. And this is what's happening to you. And they will have terminals. And one of the main terminals for the mental control is Area 51. So you may as well know it. And they'll get you right out of there. It's one of the most important places to not be known that you can imagine. And the only way that they can continue their facade is just to continue the lie. But it's so much worse than you can imagine because you have not been given to know how bad it is. Are we ready with batteries and everything?
Yes, we're ready to go.
And I'll continue.
I guess it's on?
Yeah. So I'll continue the story. They hear the roar, and they're really freaked out. What the hell is this? It's coming across. It goes right underneath them. Apparently, they were sitting on top of a little hill, and the tunnel underneath went right underneath them and back over to the facility. No, this is in the Tickaboo Valley, right at the periphery of the border. Area 51. 2 minutes later, the one girl says, "Oh, my God!" And she looks out there, and up in the sky, she described this object is about 900 to 1,000 feet across, a big, ball, an orb. And from this orb came some 24, 25 craft. And for an hour and 5 minutes, they watched an event which was tantamount to a mock to an invasion of Earth. It looked like a mock invasion from Earth. They saw what Henry Kissinger is talking about. Not an invasion that was real, but an invasion that was promulgated to frighten the hell out of you or frighten you into hell. Because hell really can be here on Earth. This is but one way that they can take us out and bring us into the New World Order. They can take us out via a racial confrontation situation where people are killing each other because of the color. And this can be put to an end. We can put all of these events to an end. If we talk about them, if we show what they plan to do before they plan to do it, it's like defusing the dynamite. Instead of an explosion, it's a fizzle. I have Mafia Mike on our tape. Dr. Lynn Seymour on the tape. Norio describes it. And then they can take us out with the genetic engineering of AIDS, Ebola. And there was one Illuminist, a fellow named, what was his name? Maybe you remember it. Dr. Bertrand Russell, from his book, The Impact of Science on Society. And Dr. Russell said that perhaps perhaps if a disease could be created Perhaps if we could have something that would be disastrous that would happen to the planet, we could sort of cull the population, bring them down to size. And he was disappointed about war. He said, war has hitherto been disappointing. But bacteriological war may prove effective. If a black death could spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely. Dr. Bertrand Russell. We have to expose these individuals. What you're doing here with the contact is wonderful. 3,000 publications going out, one after the other, after the other, after the other. What is necessary is that you put it into the next step. Take it to the next level. Put it out on the website. Do you have a website? You don't. If you put this thing out, what you have here, if you transfer the data that you have already put in concise, clear, understandable form onto the website, it may be one of the largest websites on the planet Earth. If you unleash the power that you have, then we'll start to win this particular war. It's not going to be fought with guns. It has to be fought with words. It has to be fought with ideas. I did a tape with a fellow who spent 10 years going in and out of prison. His name is George Hansen, former congressman, 7 terms. We talked about the New World Order. Because you can sense it. If you can't sense it, you can see it. And if you can't see it, if you're blind, you can't hear. If you can't hear it, you can't see it. You can't sense it. You sure as hell can smell it. It's the stench of death that fills the air and clogs the nostrils. I think that you guys are sitting on a gold mine out here. And I think it's time for you to dig the shaft. See, it's time that they get the shaft. Of course, NAFTA is the shaft. They get the gold, you get the shaft. They think that's fair. They control your children. They control the airways. But they don't control the websites. All of what you have up here on the wall, all of what's in these books and over here in these stacks, can go out on the website, and people all around the world will take it. And rather than having boxes of publications, these publications will spread throughout the world. It's necessary that you utilize them. We have to inform people. And when we inform people, when we reach out and when we touch beyond our fingertips, and we develop the capacity to see beyond our sight and to hear beyond the limitations of our ears, and something new is going to happen. There's going to be an electricity in the air, and you're going to transfer the information that you have elsewhere. And rather than having 60 people here, you're going to find your meetings will turn to 6,000.
Well, you just blew it for us.
I knew that, darling, but I had to tell you the truth. So, can we make a change? I confronted the Port Commission in Long Beach about what they were doing. Because Long Beach is going to become another Pearl Harbor, a second Pearl Harbor. Not on December 7th, 1997, but maybe by December 7th, 1999. We cannot allow the People's Liberation Army a port to be established on these shores. We cannot allow the Great Mall of China to be built up in Atlanta. I went over and talked to the mayor. I call for the removal of the city council and the impeachment of the president of the United States for high treason. We had about 800 people show up at that meeting. Wasn't enough room for the people to get in. Went back and challenged the mayor, Beverly O'Neill, of Long Beach. Wound up in the front page of the Long Beach Press Telegram. Trade or treason. We cannot allow the trade to go on. It's a $50.3 thousand million deficit this year. You say, it's Christmas time. Celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And then people go over and they buy some Christmas tree lights and some toys and some planters and some various things, all from communist China, made with slave labor, where they take the unborn children and they eat them. The one doctor over there, she said, well, when asked the question, well, how can you do this? She said, well, anything else would be a waste. And she talks about eating the big boys cost more. They're eating them. It's become a cannibalistic nation. They're eating their own people. It's beyond absurdity. It's insane. And I'm sure you've seen the broadcast. If you haven't already, you know, you've heard about it. If they need the body or organs from the body of a child, they'll take a child like the little boy here, put him down on his knees and blow out his brains, and take the other organs and harvest them and sell them. When does it become unacceptable? If you've got a line down here at Kmart and the people are coming in and it's a jam day, you fill up your bag, your box, your take one cart, two carts, three carts, maybe $600 worth of items, and let them count them all up, and everybody's waiting in line, right? Everybody's waiting in line. They want to get through there. And then you say, wait a minute, what is this? Made in communist China? It's made with slave labor. Forget the whole thing. I can't do this. Did you know that these people here at Kmart are selling stuff made with slave labor? I can't do this. No. They've been standing in line. The checker is put through maybe $600 worth of items, and you walk away. You just leave it. Somebody else does the same thing in the next line, in the next line. It's not illegal. You can change your mind. Lady's got a right to change her mind. So does a man. You change your mind this season. You change your attitude this season. We have to have a free world alliance. We have to have an alliance of all people from all different walks of life, where we accept unilaterally the tribal, linguistic, racial, religious, and political nation states. We simply start it here. We take it everywhere. The Basque, the Tamals, the Metabili, the Mashona, the Iroquois, the Chickaloon. We simply accept those people who wish to be independent and free. There has to be some opposition to the United Nations, because a world that is united is not free. And a world that is free is not united. We must have the right to integrate, to segregate, to separate, to do our own damn thing in our own country. We must do this. That takes thinking. It takes initiation. It takes dedication. I see that here. Your information can expand 10,000-fold. We have to have a free world alliance.
make it a corporation in Nevada, just as fast as you can get back there, Ron.
It's so important. Because if we don't start here, where do we start? You think the people who are not here are going to start it? No. You're here for a reason. God in His infinite wisdom brings you here for a reason. It's not by accident. I didn't meet Norio by accident. We have to have an alliance of the free. Black, white, brown, straight hair, curly hair, no hair. Yeah. Gotta love y'all. And on the Costco thing, I gotta tell you one thing that occurred. I was out here demonstrating against Jiang in front of the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It's about a couple of weeks ago now. Oh, a month. She would know. Out of the CNN World News report, they did 3 minutes, and they didn't pick me up. They picked her up with talking about Jiang being another Hitler. And I was so proud of my lady. Because she was out there in the line. We had over 2,000 people. The largest demonstration in the United States against that dictator. And the Congress of the United States got a little tape I did called The Ships of Troy. It's a preview of one that's coming along. And one congressman wanted it, and another, and another, and another. So somebody's just sent all of Congress the tape showing that the USS John Paul Jones was flying the communist flag in San Diego. John Paul Jones would have rolled over in his grave to think that the United States Navy would be flying the flag of a nation that has out-Hitlered Hitler at the height of his hysteria, that's murdered most likely in excess of 100 million people, with 23 million enslaved for labor, with an attrition rate of 25%, 5,750,000 people are reported to die annually in the death camps. And the President of the United States sits down and whines and dines with these dogs. They eat dogs, they eat children.
Listen to this man, because you have no idea. And this is what's coming. And with a stroke of a pen, just like your president extended the Emergency Powers Act again this year, just recently, he can give it away. Welcome them in. And they'll keep trying over and over and over again until they beat down their enemies. It's up to you.
There are things that we can do. I made a tape with Ted Gunderson, former head of the FBI in Los Angeles, in Dallas, and Memphis, called Reichstag 95. We talk about the burning of the Reichstag and the bombing of the Oklahoma building. I'm sure you've all seen the picture, but these fellows who were out pheasant hunting came across this compound in eastern Oklahoma. This is prior to that event. I think it was on April 19th, 1995. You may recall that something happened. Norio saw that I had the picture and said, "Can I have the picture for the website?" And he put it up on the website. Well, this fella saw this 10-foot wall going up. This remote camp Gruber decided, because he was an airline mechanic, to take a picture. So he took a plane up, went over. This is what he saw from a distance when he was first coming over. Couldn't understand it. There was four security walls or fences inside the outside security fence. That's a little better picture, a little closer up. And there's the four Quonset-type huts, five tents, few Humvees, and a big yellow Ryder truck. You've all seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this information has to be brought to the street level. We have to bring it down and put it on the side of a huge Ryder truck and park it out in front of one of the federal buildings in Oklahoma City. We've got to make placemats with this and the explanation of what it's all about and offer them for sale. We've got to hit them three ways, deep and wide and consistently, because it gives me pleasure to give them pain. I want them to be punished. If they are not exposed and they are not punished, believe me, you will be punished. You got two chances of survival. Slim and none. And you'd better take that slim chance of getting out of this situation. You've got all of the ammunition. You just have to have a better gun. You shoot the words and the ideas. Help me form an alliance. We have to think world. I heard that in the conversation tonight. We've got to go to another level. Not just remain here in Tehachapi or in California. We've got to bring it up to the world level. We've got to do something that's never been done before. I know that it can be done. There was 9 bills that was passed by the Congress of the United States of America. This is within the past 3 weeks. All blasting communist China. All prohibiting this government from supporting communists who are engaged in the activities with the PLA from coming to the United States at taxpayers' expense. Exposing the human rights violations, exposing this, exposing that, prohibiting this, prohibiting that. 9 bills were passed by 85% to 90% of the Congress because they had information that came from here that went there and they reacted. They were forced to react. They didn't do it by choice. They had to do it by force because the public demanded it, or they felt the public demanded it. They saw the films. We're in post-production on 4 films now. The Ships of Troy, Black Sheep, The Crisis Creation, One on the Drugs. I know it can be done. It's up to you to get it done. Thank you.
Or whatever you're insinuating.
I didn't say everything that comes from China.
Can you repeat the question so that...
He's talking about how can I say that everything that comes from China is coming from death camps. I didn't say everything that is coming from China is coming from death camps. See, people don't own slaves anymore. Governments do. The people, the population of China is enslaved.
So is the United States of America, unfortunately.
Insofar as the death camps are concerned... They've got a system called the Logai. It's like the gulags or like the death camps, concentration camps in Nazi Germany. They produced a tremendous amount of product. The population of the camps are expendable. They will kill them. They will use them for soap or they will use them for human manure. Not all of the product that is made in communist China comes from the death camps, from the Logai system. A massive amount of product comes from them. Other product that is made there is made from people who are working, say, little girls, 12, 13 years old, working 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And you say, well, that's not slave labor. I mean, they're paid 8 or 9 cents an hour. Surely, that's, you can't consider that slave labor. And maybe you don't.
But it might only cost 2 cents a day to live there. So what's the difference? I mean,
you still got to work.
Well, they have a forced labor system. And it's, to me, unacceptable. You had a question back here.
I just need to interrupt there for a second. There's the, back in 1987, 88 time frame, we had a memo going around Digital Equipment Corporation at that time about the execution. And this was true, verified information. I just need to stop.
You're on.
Am I on?
Yep.
Okay, I can't hear it back here. Back in 1988, 89, we had a very potent memo circulating around Digital Equipment Corporation because I was in charge of all quality control for an advanced operation up in Silicon Valley at the time. And it was humorous, but it was deadly serious at the same time, just to verify your point of view. And that was that 10 managers of a certain refrigerator plant were taken outside and summarily executed in front of the remaining employees to let them know that the quality control that the government deemed appropriate to the refrigerator manufacturing facility was falling below specs, not just in number of refrigerators that worked, but in the number that got out each day. And we used it as a humorous thing to keep quality control up at Digital. That was in China.
Yes. Where does Louis Farrakhan fit into the equation as far as you see?
Repeat the question.